with it. Kind of talk kind of fast. But, I have CDs of those products. I made 16 copies of them. I believe there are about 16 communities within, including the unincorporated areas of the county. I have a copy for each one. If they're available here, I can hand them out. The other thing I want to do is, since this is an early demonstration project, FEMA is asking us to take good notes, get a feel of how the community is going to use the data. Do they like it? Do they not like it? How do you distribute the data? You know, through CDs. The product is all kind of a GIS layer. If you don't have GIS capabilities, you want it in a different format. Whether PDF file be okay, if you want hard copies. Those things I want to get an idea of. And I know you won't be able to view the data today, but I want to try to send out a questionnaire, you know, maybe a couple weeks, a month later, after maybe you had a chance to take a look at it. You know, please fill it out, send it back. It's just for information purposes, so we could develop our guidance, FEMA's guidence, better to listen to your needs.
All righty. One thing I do want to point out is these maps over here that you'll see on the front bench over here, they're what we call our scrolls. They have multiple panels on them. And when I talk about a panel, basically this is what I'm talking about. Okay. And some of you probably, if you've been looking at them, these are probably what you've been looking at. Okay. Well, I don't know about your luck, but when I go to look at one of these, I'm looking at the area down in the corner, and I got to get four of these together to try to put them together to try to figure out what I'm looking at. The scrolls are an attempt to try to help with that. You can step back and look at multiple panels on a given piece of paper. These pieces of paper lay out real well on a table like this or a fold-out table. These will stay here. We've got one set of them here. If there becomes a need for another set, we can create another set. But these are also change maps that should be very similar to what Will has on the CDs. And this is a paper version. Our colors are red, green, and yellow. Yellow means it was in the floodplain before and it's in the floodplain now. Green means I'm out now. It's a good thing. Red means it's an area that's in now that wasn't before. So if you go to your area, through your area, if you look on those maps, you should be able to tell by just looking at the colors. And that's the reason for the maps that Will's talking about in these comparison maps, usually when you bring new maps to a community, one of the first things that's out of anybody's mouth is, well, where did it change? Who's in that's not? Who's out that was in? You know, this is the attempt to try to help communicate that better, as opposed to everybody having to just get a map out, compare, and you start marking with a pencil. So with that, I think we want to, the other thing I want to point out is these maps, you know, it is nice to have the GIS data, because with the GIS data you can turn things on and you can do things that you can't do. But these maps can be viewed with an Adobe Reader, and there are very few computers in the world today that doesn't have Adobe Acrobat on it, at least in reader format. In other words, if you had one of these PDFs for your area and you just clicked on it, odds are it's going to come up and look just like it is on her machine. And see, you can go up there and change that little percent up there, and you can zoom in. And next thing you know, the houses, you can start counting houses, and you can say, well, I'm the fourth house down the street. And you can start determining where you are in reference to the floodplain. Zoom in down there on the lower end there, where there's a, yeah, in there. At either place, it doesn't matter, one of those two. And see, you can start seeing the streets, okay? Well, if you knew that you was at the end of Wildflower Avenue there in that house, then down there you would see that you're at the edge of the 500 year and you're out of the 100 year. That's the kind of information that hopefully these maps help convey, because they got an aerial behind it, okay? Now, the areas over here on Beach Boulevard, down there right above the CH, those buildings are in the 100-year floodplain per this. Those would be a prime example of a loma. Let's say if we walked out there today and we looked at those and we were standing there and we were standing in the street and the blower and the first and the ground touching the building was about eye level to me, which means the street was down here and the ground touching the building was up here, that would probably be a prime example of a loma. Because that surveyed elevation of the ground touching the structure would most likely be higher than that 100-year flood elevation, which would mean with that loma piece of paper, they could, you would not be in the floodplain. We will, within probably by the end of next week, these change maps that you see represented on these scrolls will be up on a website that you can go to, and you can zoom in and zoom out and look at these comparisons of in and outs, just like you can see on these. We will send a communication out to the folks on the attendees list when that website's up. I apologize. Typically, we have that up and running when we have this meeting and we hand that website address out here. That was just something that we weren't able to get going prior to this meeting. But with that, all you got to have is a web browser. You enter that website, you go to it, you can zoom around, and you're going to be looking at something that looks just like these scroll maps. With that, Dale, you got anything you want to add? You need to.
Daniel Schmeister, State Emergency Management. For local officials, Steve and Will mentioned how to manipulate your way through the database. These are an instruction manual for that. I've got community officials that would be glad to provide a copy to those for your GIS department to use. So raise your hand. I'll make sure I'll get you a copy. Also mentioned ordinance. I'll get you just a second. Mentioned the ordinances. Our focus is for you folks to look at these maps and provide the comments on, you know, we want to make sure we got our corporate boundaries right, street names, things like that. What Steve mentioned about letters of final determination, I think we're looking at maybe April of next year. Possibly, you know, there's some stipulations on when it gets printed in the Federal Register and so on. But when this letter of final determination comes out, it'll be a certified letter from FEMA. Generally about 120 days before that map becomes effective, our staff will follow up. And what we need to do is look at your floodplain management ordinance in real general terms. If it's less than 10 years old, all we'll be looking for is an amendment to the ordinance to adopt these new maps. We have to have the ordinance has to have the reference, the flood insurance study, and the flood insurance panels applicable to the corporate limits of your community. In real general terms, if your ordinance is more than 10 years old, you probably need to look at maybe adopting the brand new ordinance. Any questions from any of the local officials on that? But focus for now is to look at these maps and any anomalies, things like that, let us know. Okay, raise your hands again, I'll make sure you.
And while Dale's handing that out, I'd like to open it up now for general questions. And what I mean by general questions, if you have a question or something that you want to ask about that you believe would benefit multiple others that are here, then we'll answer it. That way we get it out one time. If you're asking about a specific site and you want us to go look at a particular location, that's what we'll do after we get through with the general questions. We're here to walk around on the computer, on the maps, as long as you got questions. So, in general,
pictures that you have up here are very defined, but the pictures I'm kind of out in the away from the city, and you couldn't see anything. Nothing was defined.
Okay, just to repeat the comment or the question is that you're outside the city, so you're probably out in an area where it's a 24K, as we call it, panel, which means 1 to 24,000. Which is going to be way out looking at it, okay? It's not going to be very detailed if you're in a 24K area. But it has that same level of detail digitally to zoom in on, okay? There's different size panels. There's what we call a 6K, 12K, and a 4K. I mean, in a 24K panel, and there, as you get into a more, if we got detailed studies or a lot of houses, we go to the 6K, which is zoomed in the most. If you're out in the rural areas where there's less people, we go to the 24K. The beauty of the digital, though, is you can zoom in and get the, basically the same level of accuracy either place. But as far as the printed maps, you, unfortunately, you are going to run into that as you get out into the rural areas where there's less people. The paper map's going to be less clear.
Well, they actually did bring it up on the screen, the big screen, the flat screen.
Okay.
In the other room. And it just got worse. As he blew it up, it just got more pixelated.
Okay, and then let's if it's getting that blurry that fast, bring that location up to our attention, and we'll look at that and see what the problem is. It may be a problem with that particular area, aerial tile that we're using there. I don't know. But it should be clearer than that. It shouldn't be that much difference between one place and another.
Sure. Could I ask you about the grandfather clause? I bought a place in Branson 13 years ago, and I don't have a mortgage on it, but the guy had a mortgage and he had flood insurance, $237 a year. So I just kept the flood insurance. Well, 2 years ago, it went from $237 to $1,170 a year. That's what I'm paying right now. This grandfather deal, do I have to go through the insurance company to get this straightened out, or will FEMA or whoever notify me?
Okay.
What am I going to do?
Okay, so the question is on an insurance rate that's gone up five times as much in the last 2 years ago. Can you get grandfathered in at that reduced rate? You can't get grandfathered in because you've already got insurance. What you can do is we can get you, hook you up with Monique, who is the insurance specialist. She would be your best person to talk to on why it changed and whether or not the reason it changed is right or not.
I had a rating of a very low rating, and it went up to X or something else. But before I bought, I'm from New Orleans, and I'm very familiar with swarming out in the middle of the night when you're a kid and it's flooding. So that's why I wanted to keep some flood insurance. But it went up, like I say, from 1 year to the next year, from 237 to 1170. Seems kind of stiff to me.
That, well, we do. If we get your name and number, we'll have Monique Cook's contact. Okay. Sometimes things that happen is...
The lady at the insurance company here, she contacted someone in Kentucky, and they said that's what the rate would be for my area. I live on Parnell here, and right about 200 yards from me on Branson Landing Boulevard or Business 65, they say they're not in the flood zone. They don't have to purchase flood insurance. They're not 200. I'm behind Branson Landing, you might say.
Yes, sir.
So if anything could happen to me, I'm 77 years old, living on a very limited income.
Yes, sir. Monique is your best silver bullet because she knows the most about the insurances. Other general questions? Yes, sir.
I have two. First of all, could you speak a little bit to reinstating of existing loans? I know a lot of that data was already included on some of the maps. We had a lot of people come in that said, you know, I've got this document and everything, and I need to know what's going to happen with this. Secondly,
let me repeat and do that one first. The question being, what happens with an existing LOMA or an existing LOMAR, either one? Well, in this particular situation, since we didn't do any new detailed studies, so we didn't change any of the base flood elevations that were on the maps associated with the detailed studies, there was a document created that's a summary of map actions, a SOMA, which addresses the LOMAs and the LOMARs that existed in the community, and those, here's the example here on the, here it is on the table. Those LOMAs should be validated because we didn't change any of the base flood elevations. So
should have came in the mail with the maps and the
flood insurance. I think I saw that, but it said one day after the maps become effective.
Right.
Those were reinstated.
Correct. And that's because they can't be reinstated now because the maps aren't, they'd be reinstated against the same maps they're already validated against.
So part of that question a little bit, any action required by the local entity?
And on that, there should be no action required by the locals. That should be an automatic process. The only place that would occur now where they would have to create a LOMA is if they are in this red area on these comparison maps where they're in the floodplain now and they weren't before, and they might have to buy flood insurance. The determination company looks at these new maps and says, hey, these people are in the floodplain now. That LOMA, they would have to do a LOMA to get out if that was applicable per the examples that we gave earlier. Okay.
And while we're doing that,
okay,
we at Penn County unincorporated areas, we had about 400 properties by the extension of the drainage areas and things like that came into, some of them improved, some of them not improved, the majority of them not. Do these people not have an appeal process since they're new into this?
Okay.
As opposed to just comment.
Okay, so the question is on the areas that got brought in the unincorporated Taney County area, because now these maps are extended up to the 640-acre line. In other words, where 640 acres drain to it, 1 square mile, where that gets to the ditch, the creek, or whatever, that's where we map up to. And that extended some boundaries upstream. That is a zone A zone is not appealable. It's commentable, but it's not appealable. But what I will tell you is, but what I'll tell you though is that by the strict rules, guidelines, and regulations, we're not required to look at any additional technical information that's given to us that might would change that. But I'll tell you that with CTP's preference, which is SEMA, their preference is if you got information that we ought to be looking at that makes that map different, we ought to look at it, and we will.
The second question dealt with pre-perm rates.
Okay.
And what I've heard you say here today is pre-perm rate refers to actually purchasing the insurance before the plan becomes effective. Has nothing to do with if you were in the structure or structure built before you were in the floodplain or anything like that, before you entered the flood insurance program.
That would, the pre-firm rate, what you're describing there in terms of being built according to the way the rules were at the time you built and being, that pre-firm rate would still apply if you're now in the floodplain. Now, there is another piece of this program that Monique brought to our attention last a week or so ago. There is a delayed process where I think, and I haven't got this completely in my mind yet, but there's like 1 year or 2 year extension you get on getting grandfathered in as opposed to that drop dead date at the end. But that's brand new regulations. So what I can tell you for sure is if you're eligible for grandfathering and you purchase that flood insurance 45 days prior to the new maps going effective, 30 is the minimum. And the reason for that is people on the coast, they see a hurricane coming, they go buy flood insurance. Hurricane go by, they drop their flood insurance. Now there's a 30-day wait period. So I tell everybody 45 days just to make sure that the paperwork clears and that you get that flood insurance prior to the new maps going effective. So
these areas that you're mentioning, where they're A zones with people are going to have to get LOMAs.
Or buy flood insurance, one or the other.
It's going to be the same procedure.
Yes, sir.
They're going to have to fill out their DD form.
Yep. Unfortunately, I don't like giving that answer, but the answer is yes. Any other general questions? Yes, ma'am.
When we went to the county, we took information that showed that we were above the flood elevation by survey, but your new map shows that you have moved the flood line from the middle of my back deck far up to the highway, which is another 100 and some feet up uphill.
Okay.
And I was wondering if my survey information would change the map because the house next door is above flood level two.
Right. The question being asked is can site-specific survey change a line on the map? And the answer to that is yes. And your particular area, you need to point that out to us because if it's doing that, we need to look at that. And if let's keep these to general. If we got site specific, let's break out. That way we can pull the map out and we're looking right at it, because if I see it, I'll remember it. better than if I just hear it.
Well, if that changes the map, would I be able to get out from paying flood insurance?
Yeah, for lending and flood insurance purposes, these maps aren't valid until they go effective.
Right.
Right.
And that's the thing you're trying to watch for with this, is you don't have banks and insurance companies
trying to use these
policies.
Right. Because they're not, and you know, you're basically 14, 15 months before these would be effective, so, you know. But if you had to buy flood insurance, and if you had to pay flood insurance, and the new maps come out showing that you were out, there is a certain time frame there that you can get reimbursed that flood insurance.
All of it?
Same calendar year.
I think so.
Right.
Sir, could I ask you one more question?
Yes.
Anybody else?
We got a gentleman back here who's been patiently. His arms done got tired because he just keeps raising it.
I had a question. My definition of a floodplain is a wandering waterway. This lake is owned by Empire Electric. They own two dams, and the government gave them control of the lake, and they control the water outlet. There's a judge in Arkansas that turns the switch. Okay?
Right. It's a regulated...
How can we be in a floodplain level? I'm not going to live 500 years. Jesus Christ flooded the earth. And that was the whole earth, so a flood can happen anywhere at any time. The Mississippi flowed backwards one time.
Right.
1812.
Real flood.
Now, this floodplain stuff has to be settled because this lake is owned by Empire Electric, and they're making the government supply insurance. Empire Electric makes the money from this lake.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a boat dock on their lake, they charge you money to have your boat dock on their lake. Mm-hmm. But when there's something like a flood is in effect, which they created, by opening their dams, I don't know anything about this lake, sir. You have to go see whatever on your side of luck. So there's something, there's apples and oranges here that have to be discussed of who owns this lake, who's responsible for all these problems, and why does the government have to have a dissertation on all these maps which we don't even understand?
Right.
Now, I bought my house in 2000 based on accredited surveying company. That's why I bought it. Now I'm in the trick. If I want to sell that house to a couple that has to buy it on time, the insurance is going to be $3,500. That's what State Farm told me my new insurance rate would be on that property if I took out insurance with them.
Okay.
That's a lot of money.
Yes, sir.
For a house that I bought that said I wasn't in the floodplain, and they have the paper right here showing I'm out of it. But with these new maps, I may be in it. So now I'm in the trick. I can't sell my house anymore.
Okay.
Okay. Now, another question is we have to determine who owns this Cheney County lake. It's not the government. It's Empire Electric, and they make the money off of it, and they control the water level.
Okay.
So how can there be a wandering waterway with flood controls having to be in effect for us to buy insurance to protect ourselves from Empire Electric? Now, that's just one question, and it's kind of dumbed on me, the lawyers of state of mind. Who owns this thing? Who makes the money on and why are we affected by what they do? Now, if the dams weren't there, I'd say, no, I don't want to buy anything near that. Because where my house is
right
now, I was told by old residents that the water was clear over the roof of my house going way down the Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
But since they put the dams in the new Forsyth City up on the hill, they have a control.
Right. It's a regulated system.
It's a regulated system, so it can't...
And the statistics, and the statistics that
if
set
it's
the...
If a floodplain, the Empire has to offer the
yes.
insurance.
Well, if
not
it's
the government.
On a regulated stream and a regulated lake, statistics set the 100-year floodplain. And it's based on their operating procedures that they have been, that's gone through the approval process to assure that they are doing as much flood protection as they can with the volumes in the dam.
I don't know how much talking they want to do, but it's a control lake and it's a controlled water level.
Correct.
And I don't know if anybody...
And they do a balance, right. between the... what
they
do
flood
a,
my property.
They do a balance...
100 to flood.
They do a balance between the flood elevation on the lake and the flood elevations created by the discharges they turn loose downstream. And that's an approved... and that's an approved discharge plan or water management plan that was created when they put those dams in.
Well, I don't know how you want to put it any way you want, but a wandering waterway, to me, has floodplains. out of control dam sites.
Every dam.
Responsibility. And it's Empire Electric walking away.
Every dam in the U.S. has a 100-year floodplain on it. Every dam in the U.S. has a 100-year floodplain.
Well, I still say, unless that dam breaks, I don't have a 100-year floodplain. Okay, now, why doesn't Empire Electric and St. Olaf that lake offer insurance? Because it's their problem if we flood.
Are you downstream of the dam or upstream of the dam?
I'm in between both of them.
So you're downstream of one, you're downstream of one, and upstream of the other. Is your flooding based on the level pool at the lake or based on the water traveling from one dam to the other?
I'm in between two dams. I don't know.
Okay. And that's, we need to look at that individually before we can answer
what
that.
What I'm trying to say is, why doesn't Empire Electric, since they're a boss, offer flood insurance? Because they're the ones that set the water, not the government. They're not responsible. We got to get away from all this government subsidy, and the government offered people all these things for free or cheap.
This isn't free. This is a big pool. It's just like if you're an insurance company and you offer insurance to one person, the rate's going to be pretty high. With the national flood insurance, it's a big pool. It's a national-based policy. And therefore, if you've got that many people, the chances of everybody flooding in the same year are small. Therefore, the rates are low. That's the reason. That's the reason it's provided that way.
I've been there since 2002, and I've seen two floods, and people said they've never seen, never been touched.
Okay.
And now they're going to about throw me in this flood.
Okay.
And I'm not going to ever flood.
All I can say is it's an
unless the dam breaks.
Let's look at your individual location after the meeting, because
this Empire Electric skips out every time. I mean, they, when the Rockaway Beach got flooded back there a couple of years back. Rockaway Beach is low. But it's Empire Electric that floods it. Not God.
It's not Empire Electric. It's Empire Electric, but it's an approved water management program.
That's all I'm going to say. They can hear what I said, and that it's a controlled waterway. And we're all playing within this box of floodplains, fire insurance, and the government. When in reality, it's none of that. We're a victim of the water level control by Empire Electric. Dang Arkansas judge tells him to turn the switch. I checked into that. And it's a private lake. They can do what they want. It's not the government.
They can't do what they want. There's an approved, there's an environmental assessment they got to do, and there's an approved water program that they have to go through in terms of discharge rates, water levels they can't go below. They can't lower the water discharges below a certain amount. They have to maintain a certain low flow.
If I wanted to sell my house to you, it's worth over $300,000 on paper. And I can't get rid of it. Nobody says these floodplains because nobody's going to pump for $300,000 to buy this place. You're going to put it on time. Now I'm below the floodplain.
Well, all I'm saying is we need to look at it because the elevations didn't change.
Well, I said what I wanted to say, and that's it. The people want to buy into this. You're in the box here, and this is the way it is. But it's not a floodplain area. It doesn't apply. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Anybody? Okay.
Somebody?
Go ahead.
One quick question. What is the source and the date of the aerial imagery that your company used?
It's a 2008 NAPES.
Yeah. Okay.
Which, and the reason we use those is they're created by another federal agency. There's no need in duplicating efforts, and they were they were the most recent aerials we could get our hands on at the time. Now there is a little aggravation with that because the NAPES are Farm Service Administration created, so they want to know so they're taking leaf on. So when you start looking at the houses, you'll notice the leaves are on the tree as opposed to a lot of aerials you look at, the leaves are off. That's a little frustrating, but at least the houses and the roads are more up to date.
Right.
Yes.
But it has to be area wide. It can't be just
pixel.
I was here last year in the meeting we had, and a question came up about the 5-foot elevation that the Corps is going to raise the elevation of the waterway. Did you incorporate that into the new study?
I don't believe so.
It was brought up to, I don't know if you spoke or not, but it was brought up to the gentleman that was speaking, and they said that they were going to investigate it, and I didn't hear anything about it.
You got a bid on the current ones. Is it all the current ones?
We gave that information to the package of new data that they asked for to the mapping people, so
okay.
It should have been considered.
Then it should. Then we need to probably note that and check into that and make sure. I can't say with certainty that was included. Yes, sir.
Is this brought on by Katrina?
No, sir.
This 10 people tell me this is because of Katrina.
This program started in like in 1999, and then it actually got funded in 2003. Because basically what happened was you kept having these events where there was flooding occurring, whether it was in Iowa or Kentucky or Missouri or wherever, and people were flooding, and their houses was flooding, and they might have just built just a few years ago, but the floodplain maps were so bad they didn't show where they were.
Well, me again from New Orleans, everybody blame me for this.
No.
One more little quick thing, and I'm going to call it a day. On this grandfather thing, now I've had insurance, flood insurance, that I didn't have to buy for 13 years.
Yes, sir.
Okay, but I can't be grandfathered in because I already have insurance. But now if I had this piece of property and I've never bought insurance, I could get a lower rate. Is that right?
Most likely.
That's what I understood you to say.
Most likely. If the zone, it's if the zone changes.
We probably need to look and see if we're being put in the right zone now.
Because that's usually what triggers a rate change.
200 yards from me, they're not in the flood zone, and I'm about the same elevation as far as you can eyeball it.
Well, let's look at it.
Well, I gave the lady my lot number and everything.
Okay.
Will you notify me, or someone will notify me if anything's done, or what?
I think what we can do, sir, we can look at these maps and see where you're at, and then I think Connie's got enough information for it.
That I can provide it to Monique, and it won't be till the beginning of the week, probably, before she calls you.
Yeah.
I do, too.
By the way, my flood insurance will be due here in around February, I think it is, whenever it is. Should I go ahead and pay it, or hopefully it'll... No, forget race that. No, I'm going to pay it.
Yeah.
I'll get a
flip but by then, Monique's the person to talk to about insurance. She'll,
she can advise you.
I think you'll know a whole lot. You'll know a whole lot more after a conversation with that young lady.
More than you want.
She's a FEMA employee that's the basically the insurance guru.
How do I get in touch with Monique?
You,
that information you gave her, we're going to have her get a hold of you.
Thank you.
And I'm going to give you my card as well.
So. Yes, sir.
Confirmation of floodplains, they've been probably about 5 years ago when we went into the floodplain program in Payne County, maybe a little longer. But you're now asking this crowd and the county commission to confirm your maps or accept your maps with no surveys, no surveyor going out and saying, yeah, this is where it's at. And then we're going to have to live with those as a floodplain or on a specific property chain. Why hasn't the federal government sent surveyors out and shot some of these points confirming these branches that go back up into places that still have leaves in them after a large flood because there wasn't enough water in there to force that flood, force the leaves out? I'm just asking, who's responsibility? You're asking our county commission to confirm something that they have no statistical background.
We're really not asking you to confirm it. We're just asking you to look for anomalies because you know, when you drive down the road back and forth more than I do, you cross that bridge more often than we do. The topography we've got has been checked, has been calibrated, has been tested across the county. There were some anomalies found in that topography, and those anomalies were corrected. So, from that standpoint, it's pretty accurate. It's going to be plus or minus a couple of feet, which is to the accuracy of the topography, and that's the specs that we do these by.
Now, in the urban areas where bridges and culverts, where they have a detailed study with the base flood elevation,
there were
surveys that went out and measured those culvert openings and bridge heights and openings.
Yeah, but my question would be, if we've got federal bridges funded throughout the rural areas.
Right.
Why wasn't their point set as being statistical points for our county commission to look at or for an individual to look at to understand? be a lot in determining of whether your map is correct.
I'm not sure I'm following your statement in terms of the representation of the floodplain on the where it meets the ground, where the floodplain and the ground intersect, is going to be pretty accurate. Now, the bridges are not in the models out in the county, and that's just a level of detail, and that's purely a funding per mile of study restriction. There just wasn't enough money to do detailed studies every mile in every county. So some are done detailed study, some are done redelineation, which is taking an existing detailed study and plotting those elevations on new topography. And then there's approximate studies, which is the majority of what was done here in the county, which is the majority of what's done on any of the counties across the state of Missouri, or even in Region 7. Okay. Okay, the elevation on the floodplain changes as you walk up the stream.
But what is that?
So
what elevation are you basing on all over?
Okay. It's based on 1988. It's based on 1988 vertical datum, and it's not really based on sea level anymore, because sea level changes. Mean sea level changes over time. It's actually tied back to a monument. A geodetic monument up in Canada. It's in a very geologically stable point, and everything's referenced back to that point now, and it's called the 1988 vertical datum. All of the elevations that's associated with this mapping references back to that now. And that's uniform across the whole FEMA program now, and it's uniform across the whole state, because that's the Missouri State Vertical Geodatum Group. That's what they've adopted to go to and make all those conversions. It used to be 1929. We changed it. Everything's converted to 88 now.
What they also look at is like a 1% annual chance. What's the rainfall event, 1% chance happening this year? That rainfall event and how that flows through the drainage area where your property is determines the quantity of water. And as Steve mentioned, the topography, the lay of the land affects the height of the water. That's all calculated.
And there's three things that change the elevation as you go up a stream. The most water you're going to have is at the most downstream point, because the most area is draining to it. Most raindrops can get there. The shape of the channel in the floodplain. If you get in an area where it's pinched, the water's going to go up. If you get in an area where it flattens out, it's going to go down. And then the slope. So as you walk upstream, the elevation changes based on slope. It changes based on the shape of the geometry, and it actually goes down a little bit because it's less water. And it's a combination of those three that set those floodplains at any point. If we went out here on any stream in the county and just started walking upstream, at any given point across there, as we walk upstream, if we go 1 foot, 5 foot, 100 foot, or a mile, that elevation is going to change at each point. The goal for FEMA, as opposed to the way they did it originally, if you think about it, this is the second time these maps have been updated in the last 5 years. The game plan, the goal would never to be come back here and do the whole county again. As we move forward, the goal would be to come back and assess the maps. There's a database that's being created right now called Coordinated Needs Management Strategy, CNMS, which is a way for your local floodplain administrators and individuals themselves to feed into it areas of problems, areas that the maps don't appear to be right, or areas of change where we've got an approximate study here. There's lots of changes going on out here. It would really benefit our community to have a detailed study here instead of an approximate study. It would help us regulate that floodplain. You put that request in through the CNMS process. Every so often, preferably once every 5 years, they will assess the needs of Taney County. I forget how many panels there are, but let's just say there's 40 panels in the county. Let's say that based on the needs and the changes to the map, there's five panels that need to be modified or updated. The next go-round, only those five panels might get updated. The others may be fine. So the goal is to do that assessment on about a five-year basis and update only those panels that changes or problems have been brought up on. In the digital environment, you know, we keep talking about digital, but the good thing about that is it makes those changes much more cost-effective and easier to do, which makes that cycle of fixing things as we find problems out there circle through more often. Yes, sir?
There's only one way that you're ever going to find out where they stand with this whole mess. Is when they come out with a new map, you're going to have to spend $500 to get an accredited survey to come out and reshoot their property and see where they stand versus the new maps. That's the only answer to that question. It's guessing this water level, that. They're going to have a whole new survey of the property based against those maps.
If you have an existing survey, whether it's surveyed on 29 or 88, there's a convert. If you have a survey on your property, and let's say it's at vertical 29, and these are on 88, there's a simple conversion for your point in the world. There's a simple conversion for that. It might be 0.21 feet. So you would take the elevations on your existing survey, add or subtract depending on where you are in the world, that 0.21 or whatever that conversion is, then your old elevations are brought into the new, and it's compared to these.
Can someone here help us with
that? Yep. Right there. But that's how you, I mean, it's a simple conversion process for any, you have to just have the coordinates for your point in the world, and you know what that conversion is, and depending on how much it is, it's a simple comparison, and it's usually not a large. It's not like 4 or 5 feet. I mean, it's a small amount usually. And I'm not real familiar across the county what the variance is. Do you happen to know?
Okay.
All right. Just because everybody was pointing, that's why I'm picking on you. Yes, sir.
We've got different ways of looking at the maps now. You know, digital and. You know, on-screen monitors. Everybody loves paper maps.
Okay? Yes, sir.
Yeah. But is it not still the official one that you've got to go to? And if people come in and a loan company's talking about, you know, having to have insurance, what can we go to? I mean, just
you can go digital or paper. Digital is now
acceptable. But now, something
we'll
be able to
do
like a ferment?
Yes, you can do ferments on these new maps.
When they become effective. When they become effective.
Yes.
That ended up my main question.
Right.
Will there still be a ferment available?
Absolutely. Positively.
And then that will have to be the legal document. I mean,
correct.
Else,
that won't change.
Or an aid, but that has got to be
the absolutely.
That's what I mean.
Absolutely. All right. Any other general questions? And we're around to, we'll zoom in, zoom out. Look on maps, whatever, answer as many questions. Let you throw rotten fruit at us, whatever, as long as you want. Yes, sir?
No, based on planning elevations established, what information do you use to declare that that is appropriate?
Okay, if there's not a BFE elevation, one of the beauties of these new approximates is there are models there. There are cross-sections created. Those elevations were model-based, and there's cross-sections behind the data. They're just not plotted on the map. We have a tool. Is it rolled out yet? Yeah, I think it's in there. And
but Tampa County is going to take it.
Because it's not effective?
It's not effective yet, so it's not.
Once the maps become effective, there's a base flood assessment, BFA tool, that we created for SEMA that gives you the ability to go to those Zone A areas on the website and get an elevation, which is the elevation that was used to create the floodplain. It's not a BFE. It's a BFA. It's based on that approximate, i.e., if you're using it to regulate by or you're using it to help somebody set a flood elevation by, you need to step back and look at the little bigger picture. Because if there's a bridge that would impact that, it's not going to be in that model. That's the one precaution. But those books that were handed out describe how to do that. And the game plan, the goal, whole goal is for that to be easier to get a good elevation that represents the same floodplains that's on the maps. Yes, sir.
Now, the new elevations change, I mean the guidelines change because Empire raised their boards up 6 inches.
It shouldn't.
They raised the water level 6 inches.
Which would be the normal pool, correct?
No. No. It used to be 700, it's what, 701 or something right now. They're almost a foot over what they used to be.
For their normal pool, in other words,
I don't go to 700-foot level?
Right. But it's what they hold the water to under normal conditions. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, but they just raised it. They right. added more room to their apartment.
As a rule, and I don't know the intricacies, but as a rule, that would not impact the flood elevations. The only way it would impact the flood elevations is if reducing, in other words, if you're setting it that foot higher and then you have the flood event, the only thing really that raised foot does is reduces the storage of the lake or the attenuation of the lake by that volume amount.
They raised it up. They added more water
right.
to their dam.
So if you have water,
if they add more water, it's got to push back out.
And we're right there.
I understand. Let me see how I can explain this.
Water backs up.
If you think of the lake as a big bucket. And we got a 5-gallon bucket, and coming out the other end, there's a 2-inch hole here. And I got a 10-gallon bucket of water, and let's say it starts half full, okay? And I start pouring the water in slow, and the water's going out the other end. As long as I pour it in nice and steady at a nice rate, the water comes up, but it keeps going out, and it never comes out over the top, okay? Let's say I hold my hand over the hole and I raise it up an inch, equivalent to your foot, okay? If that volume is enough, and I pour it in at the same rate, if that change in volume is enough in the attenuation curves for the dam, which is what the volume does, it attenuates the flood, if that's enough volume change, such that if I pour it in at the same rate as I take my hand off, that makes it come out over the top, then that's an impact. Odds are that as the water in the lake goes up and it starts expanding out, the volume gets bigger, a lot bigger, quicker, every little bit you go up. Odds are that change in elevation wouldn't cause the 100-year flood elevation to go up. And the reason being is any changes in that volume, what they'll do is they'll change this pipe size a little bit to make it go out a little quicker.
And why did they raise the boards?
I'm giving you this Lick Skillet boy's opinion. Usually when you change those types of elevations where you're changing the normal water level, mm-hmm. it's usually for water quality purposes or water supply purposes.
Generation.
Could be. It could be. I mean, that is a possibility. I'm not saying it is or it isn't. But what that would do is that increases the window that you have that you can vary the water level in. You know, if they can't go below this level, but they have to keep it at this level, then as they create energy, they can only vary here. But if they can raise that level that they can hold the normal pool and they can't go below this, then that gives them more flexibility of what they can raise and lower the water. I don't know if that's what they're doing. I'm just guessing.
I,
yes, sir.
If I could, I've lived here quite a while, and I've done floodplain management for quite a while. And Empire, to address that last specific question, I remember 10 years ago, for a period of a year or two, normal level went from 700 to 701. And that was normal level, and they kept it there.
Varied by foot.
Then, you know, apparently it's been back down to 700 the last couple of years. So that's nothing new. Empire has done that off and on. I've been down here for over 16 years now. They've done it off and on. Normal pool, everybody considers 700, but it has been 701 before. And apparently that was going to be there.
Yep, okay.
So it hasn't affected anybody drastically when they've done it before.
I would be, well, first of all, there's enough regulations out there and to prevent that they're, if they're going through the proper channels, which I'm going to assume they are, raising that, if they're officially raising the normal pool by a foot, they had to jump through a lot of hoops in order to get permission to do that. And one of the things you got to do in doing that is making sure you're not increasing or decreasing water quality or water quantity impacts upstream and downstream. That's what they're supposed to do.
Well, tonight they threw all five gates open. The pool didn't flood the people in Hollister up to the ceiling. I sat on my back deck back there, where Roar Creek is, all night with a light and a stick with marks on it, and it came up better than a foot an hour. But it like 10 feet even getting in my yard.
Okay.
But that's what flooded it. It wasn't a pool. It was normal pool.
Yeah. Right. It was their district.
It wasn't getting out over here, and it was coming in there too fast.
Yes, sir.
In my preparation, they've done all this and done their study. Is there ever any just random locations picked out and you'll physically visit those sites just to confirm the data that you guys come up with and that you believe is real?
We did drive through the watershed looking to see if the way water flows is the way it's showing on the maps. Yes. Which we call it, we basically call it a floodplain drive around. Now, if we were doing detailed studies where we were doing the survey, you'd go look at the conditions of the culverts, you look at the conditions of the bridges, you're setting Manning's values. We look at the watershed as a whole to set the Manning's values, the roughness on the streams and on the channels. We look at the watersheds to make sure that we've got reasonable values on those. So did we walk every stream? No. But did we kind of drive around the county just to make sure that we're at least in the ballpark on this watershed? Kind of looks like it would act this way, this watershed, that. Yes, sir.
With the detail being greater in highly populated areas versus rural areas.
Correct.
Is that something that within the county, that the county would have to spend a lot more money to do a greater detailed study off in the rural areas?
Truthfully, the best thing you can do there is if there are areas that really need, that it would really benefit. In other words, there's a risk and there's people at risk. The best thing I can tell you to do is point those out to your floodplain administrators and so on and so forth, and get those to Dale so that he and SEMA so that they can get those needs requests entered into that database. That's how you get something changed from this point forward, is you show a need and a risk, and that rolls to the top, and that could get changed. That could be that could, if there's enough of a risk, enough of a change, there could be changes on a couple of panels or a stream the year after these maps go effective. It doesn't have to wait 5 years. As soon as that goes in, the next federal year, when they assess, when Will and the PTS contractor and FEMA and the CTP start looking at things in Missouri and start looking at the needs requests that are coming in from all over, there's nothing to say that that area wouldn't roll right to the top, depending on the request and the risk. It's supposed to be risk-based in terms of where the money's spent from here on. Yes, sir.
Back way up.
Oh, way back. Back.
Right. You're talking about PFA.
Yes.
All right. And get a woman in area A. Will this help in achieving a woman? I mean, we've had to do things like find a bridge, shoot a bridge, to determine a woman. Will that aid any of that?
There's, on is actually the survey itself to set the lowest ground to the structure.
Yeah.
Surveyor's still going to have to do whatever it would take to get that surveyed elevation to that point.
All right, we're gonna get this.
But as far as the BFA, as far as the base flood elevation to set, compare that to.
Yeah. BFA is not going to help that, is it?
It can. There are places where that's being used. In some places, like, if your traditional floodplain ordinance says build 1 foot above the base flood elevation, some places say if you're going to use a BFA, build 2 foot above it. If you don't want to build 2 foot above it, then do a cut across section, update the model to get a BFE, and then build 1 foot above that.
Now we've had problems with that because we've got a lot of streams, gullies that go way back up.
Right.
Which is A. And then they're trying to get Loma. DOT used to be a part of this.
Well, I can tell you this. If you look on these maps, with the topography relief that you have in Taney County, you're not like Scott County or Dunklin County over in the Boot Hill where, as they say, they got social water. Okay, you're lucky. You don't have social water. They got social water because when it gets out of bank over there, it goes and visits everybody. It don't care where it goes. It's so flat. Where you've got topography relief here, if you think about it, if we were doing a detailed study on one of those Zone A's, the only thing different we would do is we'd survey in the bridges and we'd put the bridges and the roadways in the models. That channel cross section that we cut off of the topography and put in the model, it'd be the same. Yeah. So as long as you're not in, the thing to remember, as long as you're not in an area where it would be impacted by a bridge or a culvert, truthfully, that BFA is as good as a BFE. It just, you know, it just can't be put on the map that way.
If we're away from bridges, et cetera, we've got a good chance on the BFA.
Yes, sir.
Very good.
Anything else? All right. All right. Well, let's break up. We can spread these maps out. We can spread these maps out. Alicia can bring up any panel and zoom in and move around. And we're here as long as y'all got questions or these folks up here don't kick us out.
We can just go to the clerk's office.
No, you're all right. We've got some meetings. We've got next. We'll just move. Yeah, we'll recess this meeting and then take it up.
Leave the room.
We're going to recess and we're going to move. Since they're going to work in here, we're going to run over here to Clark's office and talk to you.